Comes, I'd like you to listen for just a little bit to an update and some testimony from Robert and Ruth once again. We are glad they're here. We aren't glad that they had to come back for the reason that they're here, but then we are glad that, well, I'm going to let them tell you the story about things. So Robert and Ruth, once again, welcome to our church. Welcome to your second home. Come on up and share with us what God has been doing in your lives. We need a mic. There you go. God bless.
Yes, we would like to thank the church here for putting up with us. We've been here a little bit too often, I guess. But we really enjoy being here. In fact, the mission flat out the back there, that is our second home. In fact, it's probably our first home.
No, China is our home.
Yes, that's true. Just wonder whether we could have the PowerPoint up. Ruth and I, oh yes, a whole picture there, half a picture at the back. Ruth and I, we are teachers in China, and our role is to sow gospel seeds. Thank you, Charlie. We teach at a normal college, and a normal college is a teacher training university. And in our province is very much highlighted by the fact that it's dedicated to a national leader, Mao Zedong.
And our college or university trains almost all the primary teachers that they're going to teach in our whole province. And so if we can influence them for the Lord, they can also influence thousands of others in the future.
It's only a small college, so it's got 14,000 students, and 90% of those students are female.
And as we teach different kinds of classes, all different sizes. Both Robert and I teach some very large classes of over 100, and we teach them Western culture. We also teach some middle-sized classes, and we teach them oral English. And we have one small class, where we did this last semester, of only 6 students, and we are training them for a speech competition.
Last semester, we taught between us over 7,000 students. That's a lot of students, and you could wonder, well, how effective can we be in building relationships with these students? On the next slide, we can see something about the ministry of Jesus and how he worked this out. So if we could have the next slide, please. We see these circles of witness where Jesus worked with the large crowds, the 5,000s and the 4,000s. But he also worked with groups, both large and small, and with individuals, the 12 and the 3. And the process that we work through is to sow, win, build, and send. And at the process that we're in at the moment, we're definitely in that start phase of sowing.
And one of the main ways that we sow gospel seeds is through relationships and hospitality. So we try to attract the crowds to begin with. So we have a wide range of people. This is one of the main opportunities in the year, Christmas, when many, many students love to come and enjoy our Western-style Christmas party. And we get the opportunity to share the Christmas story, to learn some meaningful Christmas carols. The only one they really know is Jingle Bells. So we teach them some other ones, and it's just a fantastic opportunity.
Next slide, please. We also have smaller classes, and in these smaller classes, we can get to know the students a lot better, a lot more closer relationships. We often try to bring food into it because you know that food is a massive draw card and always makes people happy. But we also try to use food with meaning. And you can see on the right-hand picture there that, well, you may be able to see, that's our Easter class party. We've got Chinese-style Easter hot cross buns. Not quite the same as the New Zealand style. And we also have some Easter eggs. And so we not only give these out, but we also explain their meaning. Next slide, please.
And those last two slides showed you that we often have to do these things in the classroom. But sometimes we're also able to invite students to our, and teachers as well, to our apartment. And they, once again, they love to come and I bake some New Zealand food and they want to try everything. And so that also attracts sometimes large crowds of over 50, depending on what we have. They also love to come and just hang out in our apartment and chat and play games. And so we have a wonderful time of building relationships in this way. Next slide. Another thing they love to do is to come to our apartment in smaller groups, up to about 20, and learn to cook New Zealand treats. They're always asking me, can we come to your apartment and learn how to cook this or that, but there's limited time to do this. And also they bring their own ingredients sometimes and they cook Chinese food in our apartment. And in this case, they are making dumplings.
Yum. We love dumplings.
Trying to teach me, but I'm hopeless.
We also have opportunities with groups of staff. In this particular picture, you see Ruth leading a staff development session. She was asked to talk about, Ruth, tell us what makes you a happy lady. And so in that context, Ruth was able to share about her personal testimony and about how Jesus Christ makes her a happy lady. And for over an hour, she was able to clearly explain the gospel. Next slide. Oh, my slide. We also work with individuals, with teachers and with students, and we've had great opportunities to get to know some individuals very well. And these people, they come up to us and they ask us about the Christian faith, and they always have questions about what this means or what that means. And so we're often pleased to be able to do that, although we often struggle to be able to clearly express ourselves through the language barrier.
The other main way that we sow gospel seeds is actually through our teaching in the classrooms. And again, one of the main times of the year is Christmas. We just about inevitably can go into the classrooms, which is a big surprise to us sometimes, and to actually share the gospel story through Christmas, through the Christmas story. Most of our students and staff are quite ignorant of the real meaning of Christmas. They know about Christmas in China. They've got Christmas trees and decorations and they love the food. They're always talking about that. But sometimes they are really stunned when they realise what Christmas is really all about. Jesus. And then it comes to Easter. Well, most of our students and staff have never heard of Easter. That's really stunning to us. And so it's been wonderful to have the opportunity in at least some of our classes to connect Christmas and Easter, to explain how that Jesus was born to die, a phrase that some of them have really caught on to, and then to explain why Jesus had to come and why he had to die.
Next slide, please. In our Western culture classes, we get many different types of opportunity. I was asked to prepare a series of lectures on famous Western people. So I chose Jesus Christ as one of my famous Western people. You could say that Jesus isn't really Western, but it was good enough for me. Take an inch and take a mile while you're at it. And so I was able to explain a little bit about Jesus Christ and what he means to not only myself, but also to many people around the world. Next slide, please.
We were also invited to do a series of lectures on Western families. Great! What can we talk about Western families? So we decided to focus on two major things that make Western families strong, that make marriages strong, and therefore make a society strong, whether it's China or a Western country or society. And so we came up with this sharing our wedding vows in class. So whenever possible, when we're not teaching at the same time, we go to each other's classes for at least half an hour and we get married again. So we've been married about 40 times this year. in the last semester. And so we stand in front of the class and we say our wedding vows, the traditional Western wedding vows, to each other. And the staff and the students love it because the staff are usually in our class as well. And they've encouraged us to keep on sharing this. Because they think it's a great model for all these young people who have no idea what commitment is, no idea what real love is. So we're really focused on this. And then we also have a Chinese translation of the traditional wedding vows to make sure they can read it and understand it in their own mother tongue.
As well as talking about commitment through the wedding vows, we also talk about love. Next slide, please. And so we use this passage from 1 Corinthians 13. And we try to explain to these students who are very young, like they are 16, 17, 18, about something about the real meaning of love. And this passage really brings this out very clearly. We try to get them to explain what these words in bold and underlined mean in their own language. We have a bit of a competition to do that. And this helps them to really understand more about the true meaning of love. Next slide, please. We also face quite a number of challenges as we do our work in China. When we went to our very first foreign teachers meeting 1 year ago, the number one rule at the university is that we're not allowed to share our faith with anybody. Well, you can see that from what we've said that we've done a lot of sharing of our faith with as many people as we possibly can. But that means that we have to walk a very fine line. And we do need to pray, we'd encourage you to pray for us, that we would have the wisdom to know about where that fine line is. Sometimes we cross over it and we possibly go too far. But so far, the university has allowed us to go ahead. We also have challenges with our physical environment, the heat, the humidity, the pollution. Well, it's a little bit different from God's own country here. We also face challenges with language and cultural differences. There are misunderstandings. Quite a lot of the time, we have no idea what is happening, but we just keep on going. And there's also a very real sense that we are spiritually being opposed by the Satan, and we need to have the ability to resist him. We also have problems with security. Our students are always having their cameras out in class. They are always taking pictures of us. We have pictures of us on the internet singing Christmas carols, singing Christian songs. We have all kinds of things on the internet, getting married on the internet. And so these pictures, for example, were put on the what they call QQ, which is a bit like Twitter, I suppose. And so the students always send these pictures out, and they love to adapt them too. You see that they've put their own captions on the pictures as well.
Those ones are mild.
Yeah. So last slide, please. Next slide, yeah. We'd love you to pray for us. And we really thank you for the prayers that you've given us so far. As you know, and as Ken has mentioned, that we have had a bit of a, what you would call it, a hiccup, not in our plan anyway, that Ruth had to have surgery 2 weeks ago. And so we asked you to pray that Ruth will continue to recover from this and that she'll be able to go from strength to strength.
I just want to say that God has been incredibly faithful, as he always is, and your prayers have been a big part of that. I think it's just a wonderful opportunity, even though it was really difficult, to go deeper into God. I had to be still, which is hard for me, for a long time. And I think during that time, for the first time in my entire life, I came to the point twice where I said to the Lord, if it's possible, take this cup from me, but not your will, not my will, but yours be done. And that was a big step for me to be able to get to that. And yet I'm just so thankful that he has given me life and I can celebrate life again. And celebrate going back to China. Just so thankful. And I pray for increased opportunities because ever since I had the biopsy in April, there has been increased open doors to share with staff and students and others in China. So praise the Lord. Okay. Also pray that the Lord will refresh and energize us both over these next 2 weeks. We only have 2 weeks, and we have to be able to get up to speed and ready for our return to China, God willing, on the 1st of September.
We've been amazed at the opportunities that the Lord has given us over this last year. And we would just ask you to continue to pray that those opportunities amongst teachers and students would continue.
Please pray that the Lord will provide a Chinese Christian couple, at least one couple, to work alongside us to help us share the gospel clearly. And the main thing now is to provide that bridge between those who have been inquiring about faith and about God and the local Christians, where they can go in fellowship, where they can go and learn more about faith and to be discipled. So that's a big, big prayer request.
We've also been asked by our mission agency to raise some extra support, $500 a month, and this includes the need to cover our medical, a better medical insurance plan. When we were in China and we had to come out for Ruth's biopsy and then her surgery, the insurance company, as insurance companies delight to do, declined to meet any of the costs. And so our insurance policy was pretty worthless. So please pray that the Lord will be able to meet this need. Thank you, Ken.
Thank you, Robert. Be praying for them as they get ready to head back in September. And I think they're wanting to take a few days and go up north soon once Ruth is up and at them again. So pray that God will give them a time of refreshment. This morning, we're also here to be challenged in the Word. And over the next couple of weeks, Brother Urban's going to be speaking here, and I'm going to be over at Central sharing the Word over there in the afternoons. Central, they meet at 2 o'clock, and so all the Central people are sleeping in at 8:30 in the morning. And
praise the Lord.
And so this is a real sacrifice for our brother Irwin to be here with us this morning. So I hope you really appreciate it. Amen?
Yeah.
Brother Irwin, come up and share the Word with us. Let's welcome him.
Thank you. Good morning. It's good to be back here again, and I just realized this morning as I put on this barong that barong is not for winter. But anyway, by God's grace, I'm going to get hot in here when I preach the Word of God anyway. So turn your Bible, if you would, to the book of Matthew in chapter 9, if you would please. Matthew chapter 9, verse 35 to 38. While you're turning there, I want you to lean your ears to me and just to hear this. I believe that everyone is compassionate about something or someone. I believe everyone in this room compassionate for something or someone. The question really is, who are you compassionate for? Because who you're compassionate for, it will drive your life. What you do in your life every day, that's who you're compassionate for. The things that you're compassionate upon, okay, the things that you want to get, you're desiring of, that usually boil down to the roots of who you're compassionate for in your life. The scripture says this, for where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. There your heart will be also. Pastor Ken will be speaking in the first part of our missions month. Is this love for God, compassion for the world. That's what I'm speaking for on the last part. But love for God, what you love or who you love the most, that's who you're compassionate for. According to Oxford Dictionary, compassion is defined as sympathetic pity and concern for the sufferings or misfortunes of others. That's what the definition from Oxford Dictionary. Compassion is something, actually, that is quite missing in this world nowadays, don't you think so? Many people are usually, because of busyness in life, the higher the technology is, the more demands for economy, the less compassionate people are becoming. Because the truth of the matter is, you want to survive, you want to have your own life first. And most of all, you know, of course, you want to make sure that you have everything you need. Whoever running the PowerPoint up there, if you just keep up with me, please. All right, don't fall asleep if you would. Okay, appreciate it. All right. I want you to look at this, the compassionate of our Lord Jesus Christ. I think that is the ultimate example, what compassion is that we should have as Christians. And how does that compassion, that we have in Jesus Christ could be something that is mobilized. It's not just in the mind, not just what you think about, but it's something that is in your life. I put a quotation here, compassion that comes out of knowledge, compassion that come out of knowledge would only change one's mind. But a compassion that comes out of love and knowledge would change one's life and others. And that's what I want to have all of us here this morning, more than just knowledge to say, yes, yes, I know. But it is something that also comes out of the love that we have for God. And so let's pray and ask God to bless our short time that we have this morning. Father God, we pray this morning, as I've been praying, Lord, that this message will not just give them the extra knowledge in their heads. But Lord, we pray that this morning, may we have your heart. And God, your heart, it should be beating in every one of your people. And God, I pray this morning, if there are some who are falling asleep, that some who are not walking with you as they should, Lord God, I pray that you revive them. We pray for those here this morning also who do not know you. God, may they hear this presentation of the gospel today. May they come to know you as their Lord and Savior, as they are repented from their sins. We love you, Lord, and guide us, and pray that you use me once again. May you be glorified. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Matthew chapter 9, please, in verse 35 through verse 38. Chapter 9 of Matthew. And it says like this, "And then Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion for them, because they were weary and scattered, like sheep having no shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, 'The harvest truly is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest.'" First thing that I want you to see in verse 35 to 36 is the essence of compassions. The essence of compassions. The Lord Jesus Christ, in this text that we just read, he was busy doing his Father's business. The Bible said that he went to the cities and villages. Of course, this is talking about around this, the area called Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel, and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. Notice the pattern that the Lord Jesus Christ did. This is always the same. Wherever Jesus went, he always started with teaching and preaching the gospel of the kingdom. The healing part is something that he used to prove or to validate it, the word that he spoke, that he was the true Messiah. The Lord Jesus Christ went about to teach them the truth of God. And when he was teaching all of this and people come toward him, of course, they said there were multitudes. We don't know exactly the number of it, but multitudes, it could be just like in John chapter 6, where multitudes came upon him. There were 5,000 men, not including women and children. It could be there were 5,000 to 10,000 people in there. But in here we see the multitudes came to Jesus because they saw or they heard something. They saw and they heard. They want to know what is going on. Imagine if you're in that multitudes, what are you looking for? It could be that you want to see what is this so-called performance of miracles, or it could be just like, you know, the teaching that changed. But I believe with all my heart that the very teaching of the Word of God, that what changed people's life. Many people today are looking for health and wealth. Those things are temporal. The Lord Jesus Christ and the Lord God will never focus upon those things in their teaching. In his teaching, he's always concerned about the eternal situation, the eternal life. That's what he is more concerned about. So then the Bible says this, when the Lord Jesus Christ in verse 36, when he saw the multitudes that came from different parts of Galilee, the Bible said that he was moved with compassion for them. He was moved with compassion for them. Before the Lord Jesus Christ was moved with compassion, there's one word in there. If you have your Bible, you see the word saw. He saw the multitudes of people. The question is, what did Jesus see? What did he see that moved the heart of Jesus, our Lord and Savior, to have compassion upon these people? I believe that the Lord Jesus Christ saw more than just the physical bodies of the individuals. I think the Lord Jesus Christ did not just see about the economy situation of those people's life. Many movements today, so-called Christian movements, they're more focusing upon the economy situation of the world and the health of the situation in the world more than the spiritual condition. We don't do that in our church. We focus upon the eternal thing, on the Lord Jesus Christ and the relationship that man should have with him. In 1 Samuel chapter 16, verse 7, the Bible says this, "For the Lord does not see as man sees. For man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart." The Lord looks at the heart. I believe that the Lord Jesus Christ saw the hearts of the people. Do you know that many times when you see people, usually we look at the expression in the face or the clothes they wear, but do you know that many times you can see the condition of the heart of the person just from their appearance? Do you know that? Because the Bible says again in the beginning that where your treasure is, your heart will be also. As man thinketh in his heart, whatever man have in his heart, so is he. Life will be exposed by the outward appearance. The Lord Jesus Christ knew that the physical things that the world offers, that the world has, is temporary and grow corrupt. In James 4:14 talks about that, that life is like a vapor, appears for a little time and vanishes away. If you're here this morning, you're focusing so much your life upon the material things of the world, I mean, give you the bad news. It's temporal and it will go corrupt. And it will vanish away. Unfortunately, we have a strong tendency to view people on their physical appearance and condition. It is so because we were born with sinful nature. Because with that sinful nature, that if sinful nature prioritizes the physical condition through the materialistic mind. Do you understand that? Because that we are so consumed with our needs, that what we want, the material things, so that's why we evaluate things through the physical appearances. That's the sinful nature that we were born with, and every one of us were all in it as well. However, when we were born again in Jesus Christ, for you this morning, who you call yourself to be Christians, if you are truly born again in Jesus Christ, our sinful nature had died. Many people will say like this, "Oh, you know, I'm a Christian, but I still have sinful nature." That's impossible. A sinful nature is, a lot of people, when they think about sinful nature, they think about this body, the flesh, the meat. No, it's not. The sinful nature is abandoned in the heart that is living for sin, that serve sinful things for the sinful men. But when we are in Jesus Christ, the Bible says this, 2 Corinthians 5:17, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. All things passed away." All things, what is that all things? That sinful nature has passed away. "Behold, all things have become new." In Romans chapter 6, verse 11, the Bible says, "Likewise, you also reckon yourself to be dead indeed in sin." You're dead to sin. When you're born again in Jesus Christ, you're dead to sin. And then he says, "But alive to God in Christ Jesus, our Lord." We're alive in him, in Jesus Christ, no longer in sinful nature. Galatians 2:20, "I have been crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, not I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me." In the new life in Jesus Christ, we have a new nature. We have also new Christ-like mind, new Christ-like eyes, new Christ-like ears, new Christ-like feet, new Christ of heart, new Christ-like understanding. That's who we are, Christians. These Christ-like senses is a part of our nature in Christ as we present our bodies, as Brother Mike read this morning, as we present our bodies, one, a living sacrifice. Where is that living sacrifice? The church, holy, acceptable unto him, which is your reasonable service. And then it says, be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may look at the word, proof. That means that you may see, hear, do, and live what is good and acceptable and perfect will of God. I want to challenge you this morning, for the rest of your life from now on, whenever you see people, I want you to see with the eyes of God. When you evaluate someone's life, don't evaluate them according to your economy. Don't evaluate them according to their appearance, but evaluate them according to their spiritual condition. This is probably something hard for people that are focusing upon materialistic things in life. The Lord Jesus Christ saw the multitudes with the heart of God. He saw the multitudes, as the Bible says in that verse 36, they were scattered, they were weary and scattered like sheep having no shepherd. Allow me just to expose to you here the couple of words, the key words in there. First one, he said, Jesus saw them, they were weary. The word weary in the original text of the Bible is ekluo, which means harassed or beaten and weakened. And the word, the next one, it says scattered, is in the original text is ripo, which is means helpless, helpless. So in other words, when Jesus saw the multitude, the Lord Jesus Christ saw their life, their condition, their spiritual life, which is the reality of life, that they were harassed, that they've been beaten and weakened and helpless. Question is, by what or by whom? Of course, the one thing that we know for sure, as the Bible says, is sin. Sin. The Lord Jesus Christ saw the people of Israel being harassed and helpless because their leaders did not fulfill their responsibility to guide the people to the truth of God and to protect the people from the false teachings. They've been harassed. They've been beaten down. These crowds were experiencing distress, difficulties, and were unable to care for themselves. And the Lord Jesus Christ knew that the very heart, the very core of everything that defeated lives is sin. Sin. Because of their sin, they were hopeless, they were beaten down in the ivory trials of their life. Sin had detached them away from the true living God. Turn to the next slide, if you would please, back there. Okay? Sin had detached the people away from their God, from the Creator, and turned them into themselves. Their sin, living in sin, make them become independent from God. In Isaiah 53, in verse 6, all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. Our sin, which is living astray from God, have made us to turn into our own way. If you want to check your spiritual life, I want you to examine your life. What do you do in your life? Okay, make a list in 3 days, let's say. Make 3 days list and put it in detail if you could, what you do in every moment of your life on that 3 days. I think you will come to a conclusion that's where also who you're compassionate for. The path of sin leads to death or a separation from God, according to Romans 3:23. But I want you to see here, I want to understand what Jesus saw, why that Jesus said that they were like sheep, have no shepherd. They were weary and they were scattered. Look at with me in Romans chapter 1, verse 22 to verse 31. I'm just going to read it really fast. It's on the screen behind me. You can follow along as well. But look at this, verse 22. Professing to be wise, they become fools and exchange the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like corruptible man and birds and four-footed animals and creeping things. Talking about worshiping idols. Therefore, God also gave them up to uncleanness in the lust of their hearts to dishonor their bodies among themselves, who exchanged the truth of God, for the lie, and worship and serve the creature rather than creator, who was blessed forever. Amen. Let me tell you this. Our world, we are many. Do you know that the world is living in fantasy? When I say, you know what fantasy means, right? It's make-believe. Many people living their life every day for fantasies. They think everything they can gain will give them a better life. That's fantasies. There is no life outside the Lord Jesus Christ. That's reality. Living in God, in Jesus Christ. Verse 26, for this reason God gave them up to what? To vile passions, lustful passions. For even their woman exchanged the natural use of what for what is against nature. Likewise also men, living the natural use of woman, burn in their lust for one another. Men with men, committing what is shameful. Do you know what I'm talking about? I think we're familiar very much in this country, don't we? And receiving in themselves, look at this, the penalty of their error which was due. This is another thing about being harassed by their sin. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a debased mind to do those things which are not fitting, being filled with all unrighteousness. Now look at all of this list. Sexual immorality, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, evil-mindedness. They are whisperers or gossipers, backbiters, haters of God, violent, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents. Whew, that's one of them. Undiscerning, untrustworthy, unloving, unforgiving, unmerciful. That's why the world is, the sin has beaten them down, harassed them, and they become helpless. Do you see what sin has turned people into? Who, knowing the righteous judgment of God, that those who practice such things are deserving of death, the wages of sin is death, not only do the same, but also approve those who practice them. World, when we walk on the street, when we go to our workplaces, don't see them just the outside appearance, but notice what is in that person's heart. Know what they are being harassed. What is their struggle in their life because of their spiritual condition that they're living in sin, and sin has beat them down and make them helpless. You know, we are so good with manipulation, aren't we? Because of our sin, we are trained, we are built to manipulate people by, I'm fine, thank you. You know, you can put off a $2,000 looking suit and you said, I'm looking good, I'm fine, I'm on top of the hill. Right now my life is great. But deep in heart, God knows. You cannot fool God. And you can only hide sin for a moment. You know what the Bible says about sin? Make sure that your sin will find you out. You know what it means? Sin is like a rotten meat, like a raw meat. The longer you keep it, the smeller it gets, the rotten it gets, its smell. And people start smelling it, and people can start noticing it. If you don't believe me, just look at those people that live in Hollywood, if you know what I mean. The next thing that I want you to see, the exemplification of compassion. The exemplification of compassion. I notice my time is running short, very short. So just really brief. Luke chapter 10, verse 25 through 37, if you want to turn the Bible there. There's a story known as the Good Samaritan. But I want you to notice what it says in the verse from verse 25. There is a lawyer. The lawyer here is not just a lawyer like what we have in this country. I'm talking a lawyer is someone who knows about the law of Moses and practices them. This is someone who is sitting in the court, or so-called court of justice of the in the temple. And then that lawyer asked Jesus this, "Teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?" And then the Lord Jesus Christ said to him, "What is written in the law? What is your reading of it? What is your understanding about that, about how to have eternal life according to the law?" And then so he answered, look at what his answer: "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself." This is the lawyer said. This is a religious man. I think a lot of people, if we ask in this room, many of you can say that too. Or even many people outside this church, they are going to other churches. They can maybe say that too. However, the Lord Jesus Christ said this: "You have answered rightly. Do this and you will live." The reason Jesus said that, because he knew the heart of this man. Now look at what he said. The Bible said that he wanted to justify himself. He said to Jesus, "Who is my neighbor?" You know, it's easy for us as Christians. We say, "I love you, Jesus. I love you so much. You give me the job. You give me this. I love you. I love you. I love you," for those reasons. But you know, the love of God, it's not for just means and an end in us. It's something that will flow out of us. Look at what Jesus said. "Who is your neighbor?" And then the Lord Jesus Christ said this: "A certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves." Possibly this man was a Jew. So he fell among the thieves and stripped him of his clothing, wounded him, and departed, leaving him half dead. Now a certain priest, this is a Jew priest, a Jewish priest, came down that road, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. There are too many priests sometimes in the churches nowadays. They just saw and they're like, "Oh," and then they just walk by. And then he said, the next one, "Likewise, a Levite." A Levite is descendant of Aaron. They're supposed to be the assistants of the high priest. "When he arrived at the place, he came there and looked and passed by on the other side." Many Christians do this. "Oh, I feel so bad." Okay, that's what Levite did. "But a certain Samaritan," a Samaritan is someone who is looked down, a man of no country, because these people were the Jew called them as the scum of the earth. "The Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was," where that man that was half dead, beaten, "and when he saw him," the Bible says, "he had compassion," the Lord Jesus Christ. And then he says, "So he went to him, bandaged his wounds, pouring on oil and wine, and set him on his own animal, brought him into an inn, took care of him. On the next day, when he departed, he took out 2 denarii, gave them to the innkeepers, and said to him, 'Take care of him. And whatever more you spend, when I come again, I will repay you.' So which of these 3 do you think was your neighbor, the neighbor to him who fell among the thieves?" Jesus asked. And the man, of course, said, "The one has mercy upon, the one whom he have mercy." The compassion of the Samaritan man is the compassion that the Lord Jesus Christ was expressing. It's more than just, "Oh, look at that." You know, when missionaries showing the slides and things, we're like, "Oh, poor people." You know, don't look upon their poor houses. We call it poor because our standard here in New Zealand is high. But to people over there in Vanuatu in Africa, that's enough. God doesn't want us to look upon their poor condition as far as material condition. God wants us to see them through his eyes, that they have been beaten and helpless because of their sin. And I like this when the Samaritan, in the story of the Samaritan man here, that the Bible said that the man was leaving. The thieves came and robbed him and then beat him up, wounded him. And then the Bible said that leaving him half dead. Listen to this. There are so many people out there. They are half dead. The question is, what is the love of Jesus that you have done to you, for them? Does it move you? Moving on from there, the last thing, the exhortation of the compassion, of compassion. The exhortation of compassion, verse 37 and 38. We heard this in John chapter 3, of the compassion of the Lord Jesus Christ, of our God, and the love that he has. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believe in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. The compassion of the Lord God has moved him to send, gave his only begotten Son, the gift of everlasting life. It was from his love toward us. Now I want you to notice what the Lord Jesus Christ said in that verse, chapter 9, in verse 37, 38. Then Jesus said to his disciples, "The harvest truly is plentiful, but the laborers are few." The Lord Jesus Christ warned the disciples, and he wants each one of us in this room right now. If you are born again Christian, you are Christ's. You belong to him. He wants you to realize that the harvest truly is plentiful. There are many out there. They are harassed. They have been harassed by sin, and they are helpless. They are hopeless. They need a Savior. They need someone to bring them to the Lord Jesus Christ. The truth of the matter is, the Lord God himself is working in the harvest already. Do you know that? Have you ever? Is there anybody here been a farmer before? You know, when you go to the harvest, when you go to before the harvest time, of course, the beginning, all you do is just planting the seed. But the rest of the time between the planting the seed and the harvest time, that's in God's control, isn't it? Do you know something? This, you plant the seed in people's life by the things like the Samaritan man. He planted the seed by his good deeds of the testimony of the life that the love that he had in his heart. Do you know you can go to many people and say, "Jesus loves you, Jesus loves you, Jesus loves you," but you've never seen that love being exposed from your life. Your word means nothing. The harvest truly is plentiful, but the laborers are few. The laborers, who are the laborers? Those who God have called. Do you know, Christian, listen to this. Every Christian's are people that God has called. Called from what? From the Bible says, from darkness into the marvelous light of life, light of God. You have been called. Christians, you're not coming, you're not become a Christian so that you can warm that seats every Sunday. You don't come to church, you don't just be a Christian so that you can belong to some kind of Kumbaya Milo society. Or you can express your talents. God called you out of darkness to be light. Like the song that Chandra sang, that was powerful. Go light your world. Carry the candle unto the darkness. Seek out the helpless, the scattered. And then the last part, he said this. Therefore, Jesus said, therefore, pray the Lord of the harvest, send out laborers into his harvest. Now, I want you to notice the word pray in there. The word pray in the original text of the Bible is the word deomai. Deomai. Deomai means to beseech or to urgently plead it to God or to someone. This is a different word prayer than what Jesus used in Matthew chapter 6 when he was teaching the prayer. They call it the disciples' prayer. That prayer word is prosokomai, which is means to offer, to lift up an offering of praises to God. But this, the Lord Jesus said, I want you to plead, to beg, to beseech God. For what? He said this, beseech the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers. Now when the Lord Jesus Christ spoke this to his disciples, who do you think was the laborers that Jesus is talking about? The disciples. The Lord Jesus Christ is not saying like, Andrew, just pray. Pray, pray that the Lord will send someone from this crowd. Would you please pray? No, it wasn't that. He was saying, Andrew, Peter, John, James, you need to plead. beg the Lord, beseech God that He will send you laborers into the harvest. The Lord Jesus Christ wants you, Christians, laborers, His laborers, to go into His harvest. Notice the last part of that. It says, send out laborers into whose harvest? Church? Whose harvest? God's harvest, His harvest. You know, one thing that I love when I go out there, when God already, you know, when I'm going out there to tell people about the Word of God, this one thing I know, that is God's harvest, meaning that God has put His work in it. That God has been working that in that place. Do you know the people that you work with, the people that you're seeing every day, those peoples are God's harvest? Do you know that you're there not by accident? Do you know that you are in the presence of those a bunch of people that are scared, that are weary and scattered? Because you are the light of the world, that God wants you to go, God wants you to move, to do something for Him, because God already done His work. All you need to do is to tell them, harvest it, bring them to the Lord. You know, the compassion in a Christian life is the natural outcome, listen to this, is the natural outcome of the love of God that is in them. It's a natural outcome. It's something you don't have to try to be compassionate. If you have the love of God, you can't help it, but it just comes to be compassionate. It's something that is that God, that only God can do. That only God can do. I want to close it with this testimony so you make sense to you. Just recently, we have two people, a family, came to know the Lord. We have the first Tongan in our church. We never had Tongan before, and first Maori we ever had in our church. These are hard people, very religious. The other one is not so religious at all. But do you know there's a lady in our church named Lungi, and she loves the Lord, and she works in this daycare. And she saw this Roy. Roy is the mom, you know, the Maori lady. She drop off her baby in there, little May, every day. But then what Lungi saw, it was more than just a mom. It was a woman that needs the Lord. And she started to approach her and just talking to her. And then she said, like, you know, I'd like to go to church with you, but my husband is a skeptic. He doesn't like church. He's a Tongan man, but he's not that kind of Tongan man, if you know what I mean, she said. But anyway, Roy came to the church, to our church. And when she came over there, she heard the preaching of the word, and God just moved her heart. She saw the compassion of Lungi. And then not long after that, she said, Pastor, you know, pray for my husband. And then the week after, she came and again, and this time, her husband came, John. And when John came, and John just, you know, he's a skeptic. He sit down, but he just, you can tell his face when I'm preaching, he just trying to, just like, no, that's not right. That's not right. But you know something happened in him. He saw the compassion of God's people. I greeted him after the church, and I told him, I said, John, thank you for coming. I appreciate you being here. But I believe that you're not here by accident, that God has an appointment with you. And I hope that you know, you just listen, and if any question you have, please let me know. But I said, if you have any questions, just let me know. I'll come to your place. And then he said, you would? I said, yes, I'll come to your place. Okay, Pastor, I'll let you know. And then not long after that, a few days later, he had texted me. He said, when can you come? I said, well, the only night that I have available right now is Thursday night. And so I came to his house. He welcomed me. We studied the word. 2 weeks after that, his wife came to know the Lord. She looked at her husband. She said, is that okay for me to come to know the Lord? You know, in their culture. And John just said, I cannot say anything. She came to know the Lord. Tears came from her eyes. And John just, you know, straight face. And then studying, 6 weeks later. So it'd been 8 weeks we studying. Every Thursday night, I come to his house over there close to Henderson. And 6 weeks later, in the evening at 10 o'clock Thursday night, John, after we finished Bible study, John said, "Pastor, do you think I can have a relationship with God? I don't think I'm worthy for this." And, he was just so humble, and he couldn't even look at me in the face. And I said, "John, if the Lord Jesus Christ can save me, he can save anyone. Yes, we're all sinners. But if any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. If you turn away from your sins and give your life to the Lord Jesus Christ," that evening, 10 o'clock at night, he gave his life to the Lord Jesus Christ. And so I came home, I drove, and I saw my wife say, "Honey, John came to know the Lord." And I'm just so happy driving all the way from Henderson to Pakuranga here. And in my mind, the evil speak in me, kind of like an evil thing. It's like, did he really come to know the Lord? And I just pray. And then the next day, I texted him to remind him of who he was in that morning at 8:30 in the morning, right before he get to work. And then on Sunday, he came to church. And he said, "Pastor, I don't know what it is, but I'm so happy to be here this morning and this afternoon in the church. And, you know, life is changing." And, you know, if you know about being Tongan, it's not easy to come to a church like us. And even for him, after I explained to him about what baptism is about, and he said, "Pastor, I'm ready to follow the Lord Jesus Christ in baptism." He told his family about that. His family says, "What?" But he testified to his family. "We're going to have baptism, we're praying, in 2 weeks." He and his wife. And as a result of that compassion that the Lord Jesus Christ have given to Lungi, two souls came to know the Lord. But you know an amazing thing? John's mom came to our church. She is a Christian / Buddhist. I don't know how that mixed together. But when she came to our church, it was about a Bob Buster was preaching. And then she said, "I love this church. The word that was being brought up, it's just very clear. I want to come back again." So pray for Beth that she will come to know the Lord. Let's pray. Father God, as I pray earlier, before we begin, God, I want your people to have compassion, your compassion. And that's only possible when we love the Lord our God with all our heart, soul, and mind. Lord, I pray if there is anyone here in this room whose heart is just weakened, maybe the heartbeat of God is not really beating as strong as it should. God, I pray that you reveal more of your love to them. Not the love that is so materialistic, but the love for the souls that live in sin, that have been beaten down. Perhaps it's a family member. Perhaps it's like some of their co-workers. Perhaps it's their neighbors. God, I pray, move their hearts and let your love will be revealed as they're compassionate for the lost. May your will be done in us in this hour. In Jesus Christ's name we pray.
Thank you, Pastor Irwin, for the message this morning. We're going to take just a few moments now and have some of our bulletins, announcements, and things. But before we do that, let's just take a moment and reflect on the message that the Lord has sent to us through Pastor Irwin, compassion towards those around us. And I'm going to ask that if you would just bow your heads for a moment. And I want you to think about someone in your heart, someone in your mind. Perhaps it's in your family, a neighbor that you work with, someone that God has placed upon your heart, And simply the invitation this morning is we're going to pray for those people. You're going to pray for them right there where you are. So with our heads bowed and our eyes closed, put that person in your mind and in your heart. Begin praying right now that the Lord will allow you to see them as Jesus sees them, that you might be the one to carry the gospel to them. Shall we pray? Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for this message this morning. We thank you, Lord, for the way that you minister to our hearts, that we might then take that light of your word, salvation of Christ Jesus, and spread it to those who are around us. I pray right now for those people that you've placed upon our hearts, those people who are in our minds. Lord, may we be the very one to carry the gospel to them. May we, Lord, be used of you that others might be saved. We thank you for the word and the message that was preached to us this morning. May we forever be faithful to you as you are faithful to us. For it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. Amen. Thank you and God bless you. And again, thank you, Pastor Irwin, for the message this morning. Just a few announcements that I'd like to share with you. If you have your bulletin just on the inside pages, the Auckland Mandolina, I'm probably not saying that at all, right? Mandolin Choir or Orchestra, that's today. And there's going to be a group leaving here from IBC at 2 o'clock, and it'll be returning at 5:30. The cost? Okay, it does say today. The bulletin says I'm reading today, leaving it, so it's not today. Okay, so next Sunday, if you're interested, next Sunday, so it'll be leaving at 2 o'clock from here at the church, and we'll be returning at 5:30. Cost for that is $10. Just see Miss Jennifer if you have any questions. Don't see me about it, because I thought it was today. Another thing that is happening, now this one is happening today. That's the IBC Sports Ministry. Is that right, Lemuel? That's right, today. It's today. He gives me the thumbs up on that one. 3 o'clock to 5 o'clock, that's at the YMCA Lagoon and Leisure Center over in Panmure. So again, if you want to be a part of that with some basketball and badminton and things, the activities that are happening, a donation of $5 is being asked for that. That's just simply to recover the cost of what it is to hire out the facilities and to get everything together. So if you have any questions about that, then see Lemuel and Jazzer and Simon and James and some of those who are a part of that ministry. We also have a ladies' retreat coming up. That's going to be on the 16th and 17th of October. Now, IBC Central, Pastor Irwin's church, is going to be hosting this ladies' conference. If you'd like to be a part of that, ladies, then please go ahead and sign up for that. See again Miss Jennifer for that, and she will give you all the details about when they're going to be leaving and things of that sort. That's going to be down in Rotorua at the Lakeview Bible Camp. And then we also have a marriage retreat coming up. That's going to be sponsored here by our own church. That's going to be on the 5th and the 6th of November, so you have a few months to prepare for that. That will be at Papamoa at the Pacific Park Christian Camp. It's going to be about $200 per couple. We have kind of two sections. We have one area that's going to be $200 per couple because it's more of the motel flats. And then we have the shared apartments, which would be $170 per couple. Fit for marriage, so we're going to be doing some exercises, not necessarily physical, but marriage exercises together. So please, if you're interested in that, just see me later on. We also need, when you sign up, a $50 deposit, because once you secure the room and put the commitment into it, if you cancel out, then it kind of changes things for the rest of us with the pricing. So be sure and make that commitment with the $50. And then also, Pastor Ken mentioned this one earlier, the Faith Promise Pledges. We'll be taking up those cards next week, the Faith Promise Pledge. So if you're interested, that's not one of these if you're interested. You're a part of the church. You have to be interested in this. We're part of missions together. So please be sure and have your Faith Promise cards prepared and ready for collection next week of what you will be able to do for missions. Well, I think that's all of the announcements that we need to share. But before we're dismissed, maybe just take a moment and recognize if anyone's having a birthday or an anniversary. Is there anyone that's celebrating a birthday this week, or maybe if you were here or weren't here last week and we missed you? Anyone with a birthday in the last couple of weeks that we can celebrate and recognize with you? Anyone at all with a birthday this week? Any birthdays? All right, here comes Lemuel. Come on up here. Sports ministry guy. He's in charge of the basketball, badminton, and all of these other things that are happening. Anyone else with a birthday? How about wedding anniversaries? Anyone celebrating wedding anniversaries this week? Any wedding anniversaries? No one? Let's all stand together. We're going to sing Happy Birthday, and then we'll be dismissed. Let's sing.
Happy birthday, Lim. Happy birthday. Let's be dismissed in prayer. Get a drink, and our Bible study time will begin in about 10 minutes. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the challenge this morning. Lord, for that to have the compassion upon the lost, as Jesus did. Lord, I pray that you would put this compassion in our hearts as we leave this place. Lord, may we see the mission field everywhere we go. May we see the fields, Lord. Thank you, Lord, and dismiss us now. We ask with your blessings. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you.